forgive the person that's hurt me. You say, I let go of the pain and the hurt. Pastor, they don't deserve to be forgiven. It's not about them. It's about you.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I am your host. And you know, if you don't have a great church home, you are missing out on something incredible. 20 years ago, I came to New Life Community Church. I had been to many places. I had lived many ways. I was at the end of myself, really. And what I found at this local church was real people with real problems who found real hope in a real God. It touched me that they seemed to have such a vibrant relationship with God. I couldn't find that anywhere else. I tried on my own. I tried to be a good person. But I needed the gospel. I needed the good news of Jesus. And I found that at a great local church. Friends, all around Chicagoland, if you look hard enough, you'll find great local churches. I believe New Life is one of them. There's 27 locations in and around Chicago. Even in Northwest Indiana, there's a few. In Hammond and in Hobart. We're out in the suburbs in Elgin and Homer Glen. And we're down south in Oak Forest and Oak Lawn. We're up north in Rogers Park. All over and in between, you can find a New Life near you or near someone you know. Invite them out. If you want more information, go to newlifechicago.org. And don't wait another week before getting into a local church. It might take you a while to find the one that you fit into best, but don't give up the search. We believe there's a great community of faith out there. You just got to keep taking a step because you were never intended to do life alone.
Thank you, Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. We continue on with Pastor Mark's series called First Things First with the second half of his message called Stepping Up to Your New Identity. We continue to be in the book of Colossians chapter 3. Let's get right into our study. Here's Pastor Mark.
When Christ appears, who you really are, the ultimate you, is hidden with Christ. When Christ ultimately comes and when Christ is revealed, you will be revealed with Christ. The new, glorified, transformed, ultimately changed you will be revealed, but your body of sin and death will have to be put away. As long as you live, you're going to struggle. Pastor, don't tell me that. I'm not going to tell you again. As long as you live, you're going to struggle. As long as you live, you're going to fight the old self. Now, you're not always going to fight the same things. And hopefully as you grow, the battle for certain things will be less. And you go from victory to victory, you'll change more. And you're not always going to struggle with the same things you've always struggled with, but as long as you live, you're always going to struggle with becoming the person that God has called you to, because you will never be perfect until you are ultimately glorified, and you cannot be ultimately glorified until you get rid of this body of sin. But it's on its way. It's there. It's not yet revealed, but it'll ultimately be revealed in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about. Your identity is there. Now you have to begin to live up to that identity. Hey, you are somebody already. Now who you are has to catch up to who you are already. How many of you know that sometimes our behavior lags behind our identity? Some of you got married, but you still, when you first get married, maybe you change your name to be the family of so-and-so, but you still sign your maiden name because your behavior takes a while to catch up to your identity, right? And maybe you just got married a couple months ago, and you still behave a little bit like you're a single person because it's taken a while to figure out that you're married, and you still, your car's driving to your old apartment, and you say, oh yeah, I forgot I'm married. I gotta go over here. You know why? Because your identity takes a little bit of a while to catch up. Your behavior takes a while to catch up to your identity. And what the Apostle Paul is telling us is that you have a new identity, but some of you are living in your old identity when you are not that person anymore. You are different. You have changed. That is not you anymore. You are a new person in Jesus Christ. Someone better get excited about that. So the Apostle Paul goes on. And look what he tells us in verses 5 through 7. He tells us in verses 5, so put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived. So the second point that Paul makes is this. To step into your new identity, you must shed the practices and the desires of your lower nature. Now hear me well. He says in verse 5, put to death. That word put to death in the Greek is to mortify, to make a corpse of, to make dead, to put to death. It means that you pull out your killer nature and you exercise it against your old fleshly nature. That you have to begin to put to death the old self. It's like a tree, a healthy tree that has diseased limbs in it. You have to cut off the diseased limbs because you know that these diseased, corrupt limbs will try to kill the entire tree unless you cut it off from the healthy tree, right? The Bible is saying, he is saying, you need to put to death what belongs to the old self because this is not who you are. You have a new identity, but some of you are still living the old practices, so you have to learn to kill the old practices because they don't belong in your new life. And then he lists what those practices are. You ready? Okay. Listen to what he says. They belong to the earthly nature. Now, the first four things he lists are sexual in nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. And then the fifth thing that he lists is greed. He says greed, which is idolatry. So here's what he's saying. He's saying you have a new identity in Christ, but you're still living some of the old practices because you have not yet learned to live out the new you. You have to put to death what these things are. Now, let me just briefly describe what these things are, just in case you're confused. Sexual immorality. Sexual immorality has to do with any kind of sexual activity outside of the realm of marriage. When two single people get sexually involved, we call it fornication. When a married man gets involved with another woman other than his wife, we call it adultery. So the Apostle Paul says sexual immorality, this is part of the old you. This is not the new you. Now, let me clarify with this, and I've said this before, but let me just make sure you have this right if you're new here. Some people have grown up in the church, and they've heard the church, every time the church talks about sex, they say, no, bad, evil, don't, stop, don't, no to sex, no. And so some people grow up thinking sex must be of the devil. It's a bad thing. No. Actually, all the opposite. Sex is a great thing. It's a God-given thing. It's a gift from God. You know who designed it? God. He described it, designed it, engineered it for your pleasure, for both of the enjoyment of both partners. It's holy, it's sanctified, it's fully to be enjoyed. It's something that Christians in marriage should practice often. It's as holy as prayer. It's a good thing in the context of marriage. I'm a great fan of it. And your kids should understand that and know that in a healthy way, not in a perverted, weird way, but in a healthy way, they should know, hey, this is great. This is good. This is a great thing. And God, who is the designer, you have to read the label if you know how to, if you want something to work well, read the label, right? He is the engineer and the designer. So when you read the label of sexuality in the Bible, it says, the way this works best for optimum pleasure, for great enjoyment, it works best in a monogamous relationship between two committed partners that have sealed the deal through the commitment of marriage and are faithful to one another and are looking out for the interests of each other and have a long-term relationship and it's blessed by God and the marriage bed is undefiled. That's what God says. Yeah. I want to say that because I believe that sex gets a bad rap. And if you watch television and radio, it seems like really the people that are enjoying it the most are the wild singles out there going from partner to partner and really having a good time. Anytime sex and marriage is displayed, it's always like boring and old and a fight and so forth. Let me tell you, surveys say that the most satisfied people are married people in monogamous relationships that are having sexual, regular sexual relationships with their spouse. Those are the most satisfied people sexually. Just to eliminate that myth, by the way. Just to eliminate that myth. But, so God says, by the way, sexuality outside of marriage, it's part of the old nature. You don't do it. And I can hear someone in their mind saying, Pastor, I'm a 28-year-old guy, not ready for marriage. And you're trying to tell me that I need to stay abstinent for the next 6 years until I get engaged and do the ring and get married. Are you serious? Hey, I didn't write it. I just preach it. Okay? I want you to understand that. And absolutely I'm serious about it. Because I believe it can be done, not on your own natural power, but with the power of God. And God bless single guys here at this church that say, I am abstinent in Jesus' name until I find the right woman, until I get married. Man, I'm going to be a man of God. It takes a lot of manhood to walk in purity. And God bless the single young sisters that are saying, you know what? I could have it a dime a dozen if I wanted to, but you know what? I'm walking in purity. I'm walking in purity, and I'm walking in purity until I have a ring on my finger, until they say you can kiss the bride. Then I'm letting loose, and I'm all about my man. But you know what? Not until then. Okay, God bless those sisters, and we need to cultivate a spirit in this church that honors the purity of singleness, and that engages and that celebrates the sexuality of marriage. That's the kind of culture we wanted. That's God's culture, by the way. It's not a repressed Victorian culture. It's a healthy, celebrative culture in the right direction. So, wow, that was a message in itself. So, he says the old nature, sexual immorality, impurity. Impurity has to do with thoughts that are impure. Pornography, sexual thoughts that you shouldn't be engaging in. That's what it has to do with impurity. Lust has to do with desires that you have that are illicit, illegitimate desires of a sexual nature that you may have towards another woman that's not your spouse or in a lot of different ways that are just illegitimate desires. Evil desires has to do with a perverted version of lust that you may be engaging in, but they all have to do with sexual sin. And then it says, at greed, which is idolatry. When something in your life you desire and you put it at the center of your life, a lot of people don't look at greed as idolatry. But let me tell you, if your house is the most important thing in your life, if your bank account is the most important thing in your life, if your job is God to you and comes before anything else, if your money and your pocketbook and your possessions are what you think about and guard and covet and watch and care for more than anything else, then let me tell you, your God is not Jesus Christ. Your God is your material possessions.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Stepping Up to Your New Identity, which is from our current series called First Things First. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. His message, Stepping Up to Your New Identity.
And you need to repent of idolatry. You need to repent of it, just like any other god that you may have. And he goes on to say, by the way, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. These were part of your old lifestyle, but this isn't you anymore. That was the base nature of you, the old nature of you. But that is not who you are anymore. So you need to put it to death. You say, well, Pastor, how do I put it to death? Should I like whip myself and say, down, body, down? No, that's not the way you put it to death. Let me give you an illustration. Let's just say that a young man was obsessed about a woman and she broke up with him. And he just can't get her off his mind. He aches for her. He thinks about her. He checks his text messaging to see if she's texting him. He calls up all her friends and say, how's she doing? Has she asked about me? Has she said anything about me? Has she even hinted to my name? No, no, no. And so he goes, just to catch a glimpse of her, he goes by her work, walks by her work, the old restaurant they used to be at. He checks her. He Googles her name on the internet to see if anything's going. He thinks about her at night, wakes up, he's obsessed. He's a star. Some of you say, I know, I've dated one of those. Okay, and he says, I want to get out of her mind. I can't. I just can't. So what do? I'm going to rip all our pictures up. I'm going to try not to think about her. But the more he tries not to think about her, the more he thinks about her. And some of us are like that with our old nature. You say, I don't want to lust, or I don't want to do this. I don't want to lie. I don't want to have materialism. I don't want to go to pornography. I don't want to go in this direction. I don't, but I can't. The more I try to stop, the more I want it. The more I say no, the more I think about it. The more I try to avoid it, the more it becomes an obsession to me. You say, I'd love to quit, but I can't. Well, here's how you quit. You see, that man can try to stop as much as he can, but the antidote is when he meets another woman that he loves even more, that engages his heart and his mind, that becomes the love of his life. Then he wakes up one day, 9 months later, and thinks, I haven't even thought of the old girl because I have a new love. That's greater than the old love. That engages me more. You see, that's the way it is with God. You can't just stop the old life. You have to begin to engage in the new life and begin to drink of God and the things of God and love God so that it fills you more and your desire and hunger and thirst for the old things start to go away because you're being filled by something that's greater, something that satisfies you more. And it's the presence and depth and glorious nature of God himself through his Spirit. Now, you can drink of God and drink of the other as well. You can't say, well, Pastor, I'm waiting for that to happen. In the meantime, I'm having sex with my girlfriend. No, no, no. You can't fill up in your girlfriend and then expect that you're going to have a hunger for God. You can't say, well, I'm waiting for God to take away the desire. No, no, no. You stop cold turkey. Now, how many conversations have I had with couples here that come to, a lot of couples that come to this church, they come and they're living together. And then they hear the gospel, they hear about that, and they hear, we need to get married. And then they come up to me and say, Pastor, I don't know, we've been living together for 4 years. What do you think? And I say, I think you need to couch it. I need to couch it? I mean, we have a kid together. We've been together for 6 years. Hey, I don't care if you have 3 kids together. It still doesn't make it right to have sex with her. She's not your wife. So you either marry her and make it legit. Well, I know, we're just not sure we're ready to get married. Listen, after 5 years and 3 kids, you better be sure. Excuse me. What does it take to get sure? And listen, if you can't be sure after 5 years and 3 kids, then get another life. And listen, some of you ladies need to draw the line in the sand and say, listen, marry me or get out. You need to decide. Because I've been in limbo way too long. Honey, it's not, I'm waiting for the right wedding. It's going to take 10,000. I want the right ring. Listen, you've been waiting forever. It's one excuse after another. This woman she'd be happy with the rubber band. Come on. As a ring on her finger. You know, she's not picky. She just wants a husband, not a ring. She wants a husband, not a ceremony. She wants it to be legitimate. So make a commitment sometime in your life. Some of the guys just came slithering down in their seat a little bit. So, man, some of you are visiting, living with your girlfriend, going down like, oh, why'd you bring me here? I know you brought me here because you knew he was going to talk about that. You probably talked to him before the service that I was going to be here because you knew you're just trying to convince me. You'll do anything to get me to marry you. Don't come and ask. No one talked to me in advance. Or if you're here living with your girlfriend, she didn't call me and say, hey, could you talk about living together? Because, you know, he's... No, 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 no. No one planned this in advance, okay? So don't get mad at her, elbow her, and say, did you email him? No, no, no. No one did that. If you're under conviction, it's the Holy Spirit, not your girlfriend. You know, just... You used to walk in these ways. This is not who you are, but you must get rid of such things. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming on you. This is why the wrath of God came upon you. And then he goes on and he switches gears and he says, by the way, if you think that was bad, some of you have gotten rid of those things. And there are some of you here today and say, Pastor, well, I've been saved for 5 years. I don't snort cocaine. I don't sleep with my girlfriend. I don't get on pornography sites anymore. I don't gamble anymore. Man, I've arrived. I think I'm there. I can't think of any other thing that God has to work in my life. I mean, all those things, done. Check, 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 check. Off the list. Well, if you're one of those guys checking off the list, Paul goes on, he says, okay, I'm glad you've grown in those areas. But, see the word but in verse 8? But means you haven't arrived yet, buddy. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these as well. I'm glad you got rid of those practices. That's a start, but it's not the end. Because the work of renovation, sanctification, and renewal in your life is not just about exterior practices. It's also about the attitudes of your heart, the invisible things of life. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. If you're taking notes, write this down. To step into your new behavior, your new identity, you will need to put off the attitudes and the language of your lower nature as well. Not just the practices, but the attitudes and language of your lower nature. Listen to what he says. Now you must rid yourself of these things. What things? Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lying and deceiving one another. Let's talk about that for a second. This is about attitude and language. You see, sometimes we deal with the external things, but we've never dealt with the root of things. That's why some of you said, man, it took me a long time to get rid of smoking, and I got rid of smoking, but you're a non-smoker with a nasty attitude. I'm glad you stopped smoking, but man, you got an attitude. I use the patch, Pastor. I'm glad you use the patch. Whatever it takes. The patch and the Holy Spirit. Whatever it takes. But anger, you know what anger comes from? Anger comes from hurt that you haven't dealt with. Someone did you unjust. Someone abandoned you. Someone hurt you. Someone abused you. Someone mistreated you. And there's hurt in your life. And that hurt gives way to anger. You're an angry person. And when anger's not dealt with, it turns to resentment and bitterness. Hardness. There's a chip on your shoulder wherever you go. An attitude towards people. Why? Because you got hurt and you didn't deal with it. And then he says rage. Rage has to do with fury. Explosive rage inside of you. By the way, I want you to know that anger and lust, or anger and compulsive behaviors, they're cousins. They always travel together. You show me someone really struggling with anger, and I'll show you really someone that really struggles with lust. Because anger is hurt inside, and anger always looks for something to help it out, to make it feel better for a minute. And so every compulsive, addictive behavior becomes a temptation. Just one bottle will help me take the edge off of this bad day that I've had. Just one pornography thing will help me. Just one little sexual liaison will help me feel better. Just one deal, it's always one deal. It makes you feel good for the moment because you're hurting inside, but it leaves you more empty afterwards, and you need more and more and more and more and more of it to make you feel good. And pretty soon, by the time you look up, you're an addict. An out-of-control addict. Why? Because you've never dealt with the issues that stirred up to begin with. How do you deal with anger? You forgive. You release. You say, I let go of the pain and the hurt. I forgive the person that's hurt me. Pastor, they don't deserve to be forgiven. It's not about them. It's about you.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the second half of his message called Stepping Up to Your New Identity. It's part of our series called First Things First. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the next message in our series. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.